We now come to the Leader of the Opposition, Keir Starmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I join the Prime Minister in his comments about His Majesty the King and Her Royal Highness the Princess of Wales, and in his comments about Holocaust Memorial Day? Never again must be said more defiantly this year.
Oh, he's sticking up for the Israelis there.
Mr. Speaker, last week we lost Sir Tony Lloyd, a true public servant who touched the lives of many people across the House and across the country. And I'm glad that his family were here yesterday to hear the many tributes to and memories of Tony. He will be greatly missed. Yeah. Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister's had quite a week, from endlessly fighting with his own MPs to collapsing in laughter when he was asked by a member of the public about NHS waiting lists. So I was glad to hear that he managed to take some time off.
Can I just say, I wanted to the Prime Minister, I'm certainly going to hear the Leader of the Opposition. Those people who don't want to hear, they can certainly leave, because that's who it's going to be, so get it in order. Some of you are wanting to catch my eye again. It's not a good way to do it.
Yes. Mr. Speaker, I love this quaint tradition where the more they stack him off behind his back, the later they cheer in here. Keep it going.
And also, for this side, you can have a joint cup of tea. Come on, please.
Mr. Speaker, I was glad to see that he managed to get some time off yesterday afternoon to kick back, relax, and accidentally record a candid video for Nigel Farage. The only thing missing from that punishing schedule is any sort of governing or leadership. So was he surprised to see one of his own MPs say that he doesn't get what Britain needs and he's not listening to what people want?
Yeah. Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker. He talks about what Britain needs, what Britain wants, what Britain values. This from a man who takes the knee, Mr. Speaker, who wanted to abolish the monarchy, who still doesn't know what a woman is, and just this week, and who just this week, one of his front benchers said that they back teaching divisive white privilege in our schools, Mr. Speaker. Looking at his record, it's crystal clear which one of us doesn't get Britain's values.
Rishi knows exactly what's going on. He gave a whole speech on exactly what was wrong and who's with it.
I've just paused that. I just wanted to say, you know, he's right in what he's saying, though. He is right. You know,
because both of them.
Well, it is both of them.
Both of them. Rishi couldn't run a bat.
No, Rishi knows what a woman is. I mean, he's already stated it. Well, a woman is a woman.
He kind of had to backtrack a little bit, but Star knew what a woman was. He did. He didn't, and then he did, and now he doesn't again.
Did you see that joke about him? He said he comes out with a policy on the Monday and then negates it on the Tuesday. On the Wednesday, he comes out with another policy, negates it on the Thursday. And then on the Friday, he says, we've got loads of new policies. I'll tell you about it next week.
Yeah, very much.
Here we go, carrying on.
Mr. Switzer. He spouts so much nonsense, no wonder they're giving up on him. And even now, as his government crumbles around him and his own MPs point out he's out of touch, got no plan for growth, crime or building houses, the Prime Minister is sticking to his one-man Pollyanna show. Everything's fine. People should be grateful to him. The trouble is, no one's buying it. Does he actually understand why his own MPs say he doesn't understand Britain and that he is an obstacle to recovery?
That's the call to recovery, to be honest.
Mr. Speaker, he calls it nonsense, but these are his positions, Mr. Speaker. Right? And he doesn't want to talk about it, but this is the fact. He chose to represent.
Arguing over who's the worst idiot.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking exactly the same
just
thing.
Just like, oh God, here we are again.
Distraction.
No. You're an idiot. No, you're a worse idiot. You can't do your job, and you can't do it even worse than me.
Our prescribed terrorist group, Mr. Speaker. He chose to campaign against the deportation of foreign national offenders, Mr. Speaker, just like he chose to serve the Right Honourable Member for Islington North, Mr. Speaker. That's his record, those are his values, and that is exactly how he should be judged.
I think you should probably judge you both on your jobs. No, they're not very good at that, so let's just have an argument instead.
Yeah.
He wins. Your mates with a Marxist.
It's like having 612-year-olds in ready
your
to...
Your MPs don't like you.
Yeah. Carrying on.
With the Director of Public Prosecution putting terrorists and murderers in jail. He was making millions betting on the misery of working people during the financial crisis.
Ooh, that was a stab.
Okay, then. Which is worse, then? Let's have a look. Making millions during a financial crisis while everyone else was suffering, or literally turning a blind eye to like all the grooming gangs and stuff.
I think they're both as bad as each other.
I'll toss a £10 note, and if we land on the Queen, yeah, we landed on the Queen. It was the grooming gangs.
Okay.
And we've seen this story time and time again with this lot. Party first, country second, safety ensconced in Westminster. They get down to the real business of fighting each other to death. The country forced to endure their division and chaos.
Just
the
literally sacked loads of councillors in the world.
Meanwhile, this week we discover that Britain is going to be the only major economy that no longer makes its own steel. That the government is handing out £500 million to make 3,000 steelworkers redundant. And that the parents of thousands are being told that his free childcare promise is nothing but a mirage. Isn't he embarrassed that the Tory party is yet again entirely focused on itself?
Mr. Speaker, yet more sniping from the sidelines. Yeah, you can see...
How can that be sniping? Because they're going to close. They're going to close those steel places. They're going to close it. Sniping, mate.
Yeah, so we'll rely on people like China for our infrastructure even more now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I can't wait till we have a war with them.
Substandard steel going into the buildings.
There'll be no steel.
Yes, it'll be just like a foil front. Yes, that's a girder.
It's not good.
You can see... You can see exactly why Hizbut Tahrir hired him in the first place. But he wants to talk about these things. Even his own party are now realising that he simply doesn't have a plan for this country, Mr. Speaker. The member for Dagenham and Rainham said it's difficult to identify the purpose of his leadership. And long-time celebrity backer Steve Coogan recently said he licks his finger, sticks it in the air, and just sees which way the wind is blowing. Even Labour Party know, Mr. Speaker, he's not a leader, he is a human weather vane.
It's quite funny for Rishi, actually. It's really whoever, not funny at all, is it? Whoever wrote it.
He's got a new scriptwriter in number 10.
Steve Coogan, by the sound of it.
Yeah, sound of it, yeah.
It's not the sidelines, it's behind him that the fire's coming in, Mr. Speaker. And he can try and blame the Labour Party all he wants. The difference is... I've changed my party. He's bullied by his party. And has he found the time in his busy schedule to work out why thousands of parents are being told by their nurseries that they won't get free childcare that he promised them?
Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, let's see what his party is offering the country. It's pretty, right, so... We all know, Mr. Speaker, he doesn't have many ideas for our country.
I'm going to hear the Prime Minister.
He doesn't have many, but one thing we do know, Mr. Speaker, is that...
You don't want to push it, do you? No.
You know that he's committed to his 2030 decarbonisation promise, Mr. Speaker, which they say will cost £28 billion. But I was reading about it this week. He says he's changed the party. One of his team called it an albatross hanging around their neck. That might have been the Shadow Chancellor, maybe, Mr. Speaker. But he said they're doubling down on it. All this ahead of a crunch meeting, we're told, this week, for them to work out how they're going to pay for it. I can save them some time because we all know the answer. Higher taxes for the British people.
It is just a game of one-upmanship.
I don't know why they call it Prime Minister's questions. It should be, well, I've got a few different decisions. Prime Minister's misdirection, Prime Minister's dodging, Prime Minister's evasion, Prime Minister's arguments. You don't answer anything. Never answers anything.
Minister's jokes at the shadow's expense.
They're up there with Steve's.
Yeah. Oh, don't talk about him. I think he's taking away all my defences. I'm feeling ill at the moment. Talking about the Raven. Anyway, carrying on.
Mr. Speaker, there's only one party that crashed the economy. They're sitting right there.
He loved these buzzwords.
Mr. Holmes, you've had your question already. Obviously, you don't want to remain for the rest. Dear Summer.
He has missed 25 tax rises. And he's got nothing to say on childcare. Millions of families will have been listening for an answer and they got absolutely nothing. He announced that scheme a year ago.
He didn't say anything about childcare, really. Didn't answer it, did he?
Maybe he didn't. He just said, let's have a look at what Labour
have done. Monday of this week, did he notice there was some, in his words, practical issues with that. 8 weeks before its launch, parents can't budget, plan for work, or make arrangements with their employers. And the Prime Minister's response is to say, it's all fine, it's the fault of the Labour Party. Is this merely a practical issue, or is it yet another example of him simply not understanding how life works for other people?
Ooh, that was a wounding shot, that one. Meaning he's detached. He has no idea what the man in the street or the woman in the street or the baby in the street feels.
I don't think that's true. I think he knows exactly how they feel. Again, he gave a whole speech before Christmas we discussed where he said, went through all the problems, all the public know that they don't do this, this, this and this and this. He knows exactly what the problems are and exactly what everyone thinks.
So are you saying that man is evil?
Yes.
Our PM is joking. Evil.
I'm not even joking, yeah. If you know the problem, because you stood up there and said you know the problem, he admitted they are the problem, and he said he was going to fix it. He hasn't done that one.
No, he hasn't. And so also...
he's not fixed it. Bye-bye.
I love it, because it's just like you're having a conversation with somebody, and they say, oh, look at that over there. And then you go look, and then he disappears.
It's like being on Twitter, isn't it?
Down around.
Mr. Speaker, we're delivering the biggest ever expansion of childcare in this country's history, Mr. Speaker. But while millions of parents will benefit from that, again, it's right that he should come clean with them about the cost that his plans will impose on all of them. He goes on and on about the Green Promise, Mr. Speaker. He says he wants to keep it. He says he wants to keep it, but he doesn't have a plan to pay for it. What he's really saying is he'll scrap the borrowing associated, but he wants to keep the £28 billion of spending. So for all those working families who are benefiting from our free childcare, he should come clean with them now. Why doesn't he come clean with them now? Come clean with them now and just be clear, his plans mean back to square one and higher taxes for British people.
Look over there, look over there.
Speaker, wouldn't it, man? Going back to square one was better than square we're on now.
Failing to provide childcare is not a plan, Prime Minister. It's a farce. It's a farce. And he may soon discover that with childcare, there's an IT problem. Nurseries haven't got the spaces. They haven't got the staff. There's a black hole in their budget, and it's 8 weeks to go. That isn't a plan. And families across the country, well, they can laugh all they like. Families are making plans now. They laugh at it. Of course they do. Families are struggling with a cost of living crisis, trying to work out the household budget, balancing spiralling mortgages, prices and eye-watering bills. And then at the last minute, they're thrown into chaos because their nursery says they can't deliver the free childcare he promised. Now, he calls that a practical issue. But I preferred the honesty of whichever of his colleagues briefed to the Times that it was, and I quote, a complete shit show. Who was it who briefed to the Times?
Wowzers, that's the first time I've heard anyone swear in Parliament.
Did he say what I thought he said?
He did.
Wow.
Send him to Trump. I've never heard anyone swear in Parliament, mate. Have you?
No. Well, I've heard him in Parliament, you know, not within the chamber. Swear.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Wow. You're going to get told off? Continue.
Nope. He's got privilege.
Hands up.
Are we going to use the Constitution?
Prime Minister finally realise... Okay.
Yep.
I'll decide how long the question goes. Those who wish don't hear it, I've told you the answer, and I'll help you on the way.
When will the Prime Minister finally realise that the biggest practical issue facing Britain is the constant farcical incompetence of the government that he leads?
Yeah. Prime Minister.
Wonder how many more votes I'll get him for just saying yes.
Oh, yeah.
People love it.
Ideas as country and absolutely no plan. He talked about the cost of living, Mr. Speaker. He talked about the economy, but he never actually brings it up. And we all know why, Mr. Speaker, because things are improving and we are making progress. Wages
are improving.
That's okay, the biggest.
He's living in the dream world. That's John, sorry, he doesn't know what's going on at all.
Now, you were saying he knows exactly what's going on. That was a complete and utter lie. You know, things are getting better. No, they're not, Rishi. No, they're not.
No, we can't be that stupid, so we know.
To be reduced, and inflation more than halved from 11% to 4%, because he actually knows that our plan is working and that his £28 billion tax grab will take Britain back to square one. And that, Mr. Speaker, is the choice. It's back to square one and higher taxes with him, or a plan that's delivering a brighter future with the Conservatives.
Oh, that's it. That's him finished.
Slogans, don't we?
Changing gear, Mr. Speaker. Too many oligarchs and kleptocrats are living off ill-gotten gains beyond the reach of domestic courts here or in countries like America.
Ooh.
Ever since the 2016 London Anti-Corruption Summit, moves to create an international anti-corruption court have been gathering momentum to plug this gap. It already has support from countries like Canada, Holland and Nigeria, and would fund itself
John Penrose.
The fines it charged.
Oh,
will this
like
government
Davis.
Take the lead in getting it underway, ending impunity for these crooks once and for all?
Yeah. It's crooks,
well, can I
first
pay tribute to my honourable friend for his work on this issue? As I'm sure he'll appreciate, establishing a new bespoke institution is a significant endeavour, but I know he's discussed it with the Foreign Secretary, who will look at the proposals in more detail. And in the meantime...
Did he say, I know he's disgusted? Disgusted, or did he say, I know he's disgusted? It with the Foreign Secretary. Is he disgusted or is he discussing it? That was the point. Anyway.
As he knows, our economic trimac has a raft of new measures to crack down on dirty money, and we will shortly be publishing our second anti-corruption strategy. We'll set out ambitious plans for combating corruption, both here at home, but also internationally.
In the Conservative Party.
Yeah, that's it. Are they going to tackle the City of London?
Doesn't have far
and the Bank of England.
It's pretty simple. We're close to home.
Yeah. We're going to put the Governor of the Bank of England in prison. Yeah, let's go.
Do it.
SNP leader Stephen Flynn.
Oh, here we go. SNP.
Mr. Speaker, last night, as Tory MPs were again fighting amongst themselves,
the public
were sat at home watching John Irvine of ITV News report on footage from Gaza
of
an unarmed Palestinian man walking under a white flag, being shot and killed by the IDF. Prime Minister, such an act constitutes a war crime. Does it not?
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, we've been absolutely consistent that international humanitarian law should be respected and civilians should be protected. I've made that point expressly to Prime Minister Netanyahu, and the Foreign Secretary is in the region this week making exactly the same point.
Do you think the Foreign Secretary is going to be jumping in the middle of the battle, unreasonable. Waving flags around?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, all right, it's not great shooting a journalist, but what the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
Like, what is he doing? To flatten Gaza? It's like, why are you even there?
Do you think Humza's got a lot to do with that question?
Every question they've asked for the last 2 months and the next one will ask the same thing, mate. Watch.
Well, it's happening.
To expect the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom to rise to that dispatch box and tell the people of these isles and elsewhere that shooting an unarmed man walking under a white flag is a war crime. Now, in recent weeks, this House has acted with urgency and intent following an ITV drama. The question is, will this House now show the same urgency and intent following this ITV news report? And finally, back a ceasefire in Gaza.
Yeah. Well,
Mr. Speaker, no one wants to see this conflict go on for a moment longer than necessary, and we do want to see an immediate and sustained humanitarian pause to get more aid in and, crucially, the hostages out,
helping create the conditions
for a sustainable ceasefire. I set out the conditions for that
withdrawal from Gaza.
The foreign secretary is in the region today, and we continue to press all our allies and partners to make sure that we can bring about that outcome.
Tom Hunt.
Speaker, access to NHS dentistry is a key issue in Ipswich and Suffolk. Locally, actually, we've done something about it. And the University of Suffolk and the local NHS deserve great credit for establishing a new
This is Tom Hunt,
is going to
Conservative MP for Ipswich.
Hours a year of NHS dental appointments. However, a source of great frustration for myself and a number of constituents is that many people who train to be a dentist at university for 5 years and have their training heavily subsidised can immediately go private or actually go abroad without giving anything back to the NHS. This seems wrong to me. Would the Prime Minister support with you of many of my constituents for say, 5 years, they work in the NHS, they give something back, and this will make a huge contribution to this problem?
Well, that's a bit of common sense. That's common sense.
Around there these days, is there?
Well, let's see what Rishi's got to say about that one.
Prime Minister, my honourable friend is a long-standing campaigner for better dental access in his constituency, and I congratulate him on the new dental centre that's opening, which I know he worked very
Okay, answer the question.
And I agree with him. It's right and fair that we seek better value for the significant investment that the taxpayer makes in the education and training of the dental workforce. That's why, as our workforce plan outlined, we are exploring whether a tie-in would ensure that dentists spend a better proportion of their time in the NHS, and we'll be launching a consultation on this policy later this year.
Later this year, brilliant.
A consultation. His guy turned around and said, we should tie them in for 5 years. Rishi turns around and says, well, we should tie them in, but you know they have to have a balance. They have to do more NHS than private. You know, let's
pretend to ask the public their opinion and then we'll just ignore them and do what we want, which is normally nothing.
Yep. And basically they'll just go private.
Waste of time, waste of space.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the week of the anniversary of Bloody Sunday, people in Derry are watching unarmed Palestinians being gunned down by Israeli soldiers. Over 25,000 people have now been slaughtered in Gaza. The Prime Minister says, and he said it again today, that he wants to see...
That's Colm Eastwood MP, the Social Democrat and Labour Party.
The next time there's a vote at the UN for a ceasefire, will his representative vote for it?
So it wasn't the SNP.
Well, the one before,
Mr. Speaker, of course we'll engage with all UN resolutions on their merits, and I've been clear no one wants to see this conflict go on for a moment longer than is necessary. We do want to see an immediate pause so we can get aid in and hostages out, because the situation is desperate for many people. But a sustainable permanent ceasefire needs to fulfil a set of conditions, including
absolutely.
Hamas releasing all of the hostages, Hamas no longer being in charge of Gaza with the threat of rocket attacks into Israel, and an agreement in place for the Palestinian Authority to return to Gaza to provide governance and services. The Foreign Secretary is in the region. Those are the principles on which we are working, and I believe those are shared by all our major allies.
Sure.
Yes.
Some of them were taken by members of the public, so even Hamas don't know where they are. So I'm sorry and sad, but I think most of them are probably dead now.
Yeah, that's right. I'd go with that.
In 1959, Brunel opened his rail bridge over the River Tamar. In 2022, I met with Network Rail and others to celebrate the agreement to build a simple footbridge going over the railway line in Lostwithiel. That bridge still doesn't exist, and I have no completion.
That's Cheryl Murray, MP, Conservative for South East Cornwall.
Well, I know that my honourable friend is a long-standing campaigner for the footbridge at Lostwithiel station, and I recognise her concerns and the pressing need for the construction of this footbridge. I'm told that Network Rail is currently working on a funding solution for this, so that it can take forward this.
What do you think? Do you think we're getting on to the local matters now, where everybody gets a chance?
What I'd do is I'd get the RNLI to build this footbridge, because you can't go across a stream in Airtown, but you can come across the channel easily enough, so you just sort that out, no problem. Just do little ferry rides across.
Poor people in the North East are living in poverty, with the child poverty rate for every local authority.
This is Liz
region,
Twist,
higher than the UK
Labour, Bladen.
Too many of our people are being hard hit. Now, the Prime Minister says that his plan is beginning to work. So can I ask the Prime Minister, where does rising child poverty fit in his plan.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, Mr. Speaker, the plan is working because poverty is falling in our country. Since 2010, there are 1.7 million fewer people in poverty, including hundreds of thousands of children. Of course, there's more to do. There's always more to do to make sure children...
That's the excuse all the time.
...wouldn't be helped by Labour's £28 billion tax grab on their parents, which would take money out of their family's bank accounts.
Tim Sunderland...
Didn't answer that one either.
No. Bracknell Forest is a place of aspiration, opportunity and enterprise. Business occupancy rates and employment figures are thankfully high. Footfall at the Lexicon Shopping Centre is up and wages
This is James Sunderland, MP, Conservative for Bracknell.
The UK. What more can be done to put more money in people's pockets?
Okay.
Well, it's great to see, thanks to my honourable friend, that Bracknell Forest is thriving with people in work up, footfall in the town centre up, and as he knows, almost 100% of his scores now good or outstanding. But he's right that we must do more to relieve the burden on working people, Mr. Speaker, which is why we cut taxes for tens of millions of people in work earlier this year, worth on average
Bracknell.
£450.
They seem to be doing something right then.
For lower taxes, a stronger economy, and a brighter future for the people of Bracknell Forest, and absolutely not risk going back to square one with the Labour Party.
Debbie Abrahams.
Mr. Speaker, if everyone had the same good health as the least deprived 10% of the population, in England there would have been a million fewer deaths between 2012 and 2019.
This is Debbie Abrahams, Labour, Oldham, East, and Saddleworth.
These inequalities are not inevitable. Does the Prime Minister think that cuts in social security to 85,000 low-income households, including people in low-paid work in my constituency, will help or to address these health inequalities?
Well, I can assure the Honourable Lady that we are committed to caring for society's most vulnerable, and that's why almost 20 million...
No. That's a big... That's a big L-I-E, that one. That really is.
You should have him hooked up to a lie detector throughout this.
That's like saying Mossad is not looking for leaders of Hamas.
Put some electric clamps on his nipples, and if you lie, you get shocked. Just watch him get frazzled.
No, watch his eyes light up.
Families will see their benefit payments increase this April, which will bring our total support over these few years to around £3,700 per UK household. The Department for Work and Pensions is looking very closely at how it can target its services precisely on the most vulnerable customers. And I know the Honourable Lady spoke to the DWP Permanent Secretary at length about this when he appeared before this Select Committee earlier this month. And I can assure her that he will be writing to the committee on exactly this subject shortly.
Jonathan Lloyd.
The post office scandal has affected so many people, including my constituent, Seema Misra, a sub-postmaster from West Byfleet with an outstanding record of service to her community, who was wrongfully convicted in 2010 of stealing £75,000 and was sentenced to prison on her first son's birthday and whilst pregnant with her second son.
This is Jonathan Lord, Conservative for Woking.
And more importantly, with Seema Misra herself, who is in the gallery today with her husband, Devinda, that she is due a full apology from the post office, a full apology from Fujitsu, and proper compensation as a matter of urgency.
And I know my honourable friend has been a great support to his constituents over all the years and has fought...
I'll be interested in this answer because that is nailing the Conservatives, nailing them.
Right? It is, because it's only when you hear these like stories of what people went through you realise the damage this actually did.
Correct.
So she had one kid and then she was pregnant.
Yep, and she was in prison.
Wow. She did nothing wrong.
She did nothing wrong.
Wow. For the truth to come out. As I've said, the Horizon scandal is one of the greatest miscarriages of justice in our nation's history.
Actually, I disagree. I disagree.
2019 election was, but anyway.
I think both Conservative and Labour Yeah. All the worst things to have ever happened, closely followed by the Lib Dems. You know, I want the DUP to take over this country. I want them in.
Someone definitely called them the Lib Dems before, didn't they? Dems. Love it.
I said a few weeks ago, primary legislation within weeks to ensure that all convictions that were based on erroneous Horizon evidence are quashed. That will clear people's names, deliver justice, and ensure swifter access to compensation. Innocent people, like my honourable friend's constituents, have waited far too long, and I'm determined
only to 20 years
as swiftly as possible. We have a clear moral duty to right these wrongs, and that is exactly what we will do.
Did you notice what he didn't? He didn't mention.
In 2021,
he mentioned clearing the names and giving them compensation. We didn't mention accountability.
No, nothing.
The podcast, was it last week?
Yep. And
week before, possibly.
You know, what are we going to do? Are we going to, I mean, in Japan, normally whenever, you know, a Japanese corporation commits a grave mistake.
Chop their heads off.
No, they actually go down and they submit themselves. They go on the floor and submit themselves for...
At least that's chopped off.
No, it doesn't happen like that. You know,
shame.
To ask the people that they wronged for their forgiveness.
And for some cyanide.
Yeah, it isn't going to happen over here. No, it doesn't matter how Japanese the employees are in feel. I can't see the head of, you know, Fujitsu over here going down and bowing down to all these postmasters and postmistresses. I can't see it happening somehow. Because if he did go down, I doubt he would be able to get back up again. So many people would pile on. Carrying on, sir.
1,527 food parcels were given out by Bulwell and Bestwood Food Bank. Last year, that number exploded to 6,500, with nearly half going to children. The food bank's now having to buy food to supplement donations.
Alex Morris, Labour and Cooperative, Nottingham North.
Rather than pretending that things are getting better, will the Prime Minister apologise for the daily chaos in government, which is leaving widespread destitution unaddressed?
Yeah.
Well, Mr Speaker, I don't want to see anyone reliant on food banks, but while
liar
place, I have nothing but praise and thanks for the people who run them. But it is wrong to say that we aren't making progress. When I came into this job, inflation was running at 11%. That is the single biggest impact on families' cost of living. And now, thanks to the efforts of this government, most of them opposed by his party, inflation has now been more than halved at 4%.
But what exactly did he do to reduce inflation?
Nothing. No, but yeah, hang on a minute. Earlier, Bracknell was doing great.
Yeah.
Now, wherever this guy's from, really not good at all.
No, that's
can't
right.
Always blame everything on little Rishi, can you?
No.
I mean, you can if you want to.
Yeah, I do want to.
He should take the fall. Well, not, just not
he,
the
won't, he won't have far to fall. He's only little. Little Rishi.
Running that with significant tax cuts to put more money in people's bank accounts at the end of every month. That's the right way to go about supporting people, combined with our extensive cost of living support for the most vulnerable. And all the statistics show that that support has helped, has made a difference, and that's what you get with responsible management of the British economy.
Off no statistics he just gave you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In November, I held an adjournment debate on the South Fylde line and the need for a passing loop to double its hourly service and increased resilience against delays and cancellations, which again caused misery for travellers over Christmas. The assurances I received from the Rail Minister built on the positivity generated by the reallocation of HS2 funds.
This is Mark Menzies, Conservative for Fylde.
And my efforts to advance this critical piece of...
Listen, there is other things going on in Scotland apart from a war in Gaza.
Will the Prime Minister meet with me to discuss
how the
government can help to get the South Fylde line back on track?
Prime Minister.
My friend is correct that local transport projects are and must be prioritised, and every region of our country will have more transport investment as a result.
All
of
the trains have gone off in Scotland.
That's right.
Now work is underway.
Jam tomorrow.
You have more trains that don't work.
Including improvements at Preston Station, which may support additional local services from
South of Glasgow.
I know the Rail Minister is carefully considering these options as we speak, and will update my honourable friend in due course.
Leila Moran.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Leila Moran.
Water are a shambles. In the recent flooding in Oxfordshire, they were dumping sewage from 270 sites along the Thames in 1 week. There was waste backing up into people's homes because of drains that they had not unblocked.
Oxford West and Abington.
And they couldn't even refill their own reservoir because the rivers were too dirty. But rather than offer a rebate for this shoddy service, they are intending to put bills up for everyone by 60%. So will the Prime Minister explain to my constituents why they are being asked to foot the bill for Thames Water's gross incompetence?
Oh, yes. Come on. Well,
Mr. Speaker, we've been clear that the volume of sewage discharged by water companies is unacceptable.
Oh.
And that's why we've launched the most ambitious storm overflow. Yeah.
To make it even more unacceptable.
And we have now achieved monitoring of almost every single storm overflow in England under this and previous government.
Do you know, if this guy was a policeman in this country, he'd be turning around and he'd be saying, "Stop, thief, or we'll shout stop again."
In about 6 months, after we've asked the public if they want us to shout stop.
Yes. We need a public inquiry to whether or not we can actually shout stop. Is it offensive to anybody? Here we go.
You could always shout halt.
And have introduced unlimited penalties on water companies. And where there is evidence of poor performance, the Environment Agency will not hesitate to pursue water companies concerned, just as they did, I believe, a couple of years ago in the Honourable Lady's constituency, where they fined Thames Water specifically £4 million following a serious
incident. What she asked.
Theresa May.
Thank
she
you,
asked what, how, she asked about her constituents putting the bill. That's right. Answer the question.
I know, they don't. They don't answer questions.
He's writing down every question they ask, and he hasn't answered any of them.
That's right.
Anyway,
published our report on type 1 diabetes and disordered eating, a condition estimated to affect over a quarter of type 1 diabetics in the UK. It is life-shortening, life-threatening.
They think that she's the bee's knees.
I'm pleased to say that Hampshire Integrated Care Board have already responded positively to the report. Will my right honourable friend ensure that the government not only looks seriously at the recommendations we have put forward, but acts on those recommendations, which would improve lives, and save money for the NHS?
Yeah. Come on, Richie.
I start by thanking my right honourable friend and indeed the right honourable member for Knowsley for their important work on this issue. Of course, I know both of them speak from personal experience, and as she says, it is important that people get the treatment they need. The Health Secretary will, of course, consider the report. And the NHS has already been piloting services to support those with this condition, as she's aware of. And I understand that the NHS is also now expanding pilot sites to every region of the country so that even more people can benefit from the appropriate integrated care.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, he kind
Mr.
of answered
Speaker,
one. He said he considered the report.
2024, the starvation and famine is acute as ever across the globe, much of it caused by the climate crisis. Yet at present, the world's worst crisis is in Gaza, created by Israel's ongoing siege.
Oh, what a segue.
The Integrated Food Security Phase classification has found that of 600,000 people facing starvation globally, 95% of them are in Gaza. Mr. Speaker, starvation used as
should be easy to fix then, shouldn't it?
Is a war crime.
Aye, aye.
The Israeli government has the power to end the starvation crisis by ending the siege of Gaza and opening all crossings. Does it not, Prime Minister?
Hang on a minute. Did she not say it was caused by climate crisis and then said but the majority of them are in Gaza?
I can't remember. I wasn't really listening to her.
I imagine those bombs are quite bad for the environment, but probably a bit worse for humans.
To be honest with you, I wasn't really listening to her.
No, I switch off to them too because...
Yeah. Here we go.
Clear anyway, that Gaza. We are incredibly concerned about the devastating impact of the situation in Gaza on citizens.
That's why we're sending Israelis weapons.
We have tripled our humanitarian aid
arms to Israel
this financial year to the region. And, as I said in the statement yesterday, are working with partners such as Jordan and the United States to open up new aid corridors so we can increase the supply of aid getting in to those who desperately need it.
Jordan don't care about them.
Like Frank Warren, just promoting the shoe boxes, fighting each other.
The tragic case of a 14-year-old girl who took her own life following horrific social media bullying, including on TikTok and Snapchat. Since 2010, across the English-speaking world, there's been a marked increase in poor teen mental health, teen suicide attempts, and children addicted to pornography.
Miriam Cates.
The United Kingdom has a strong tradition of legislation to protect children from serious threats to their safety and welfare. So does my right honourable friend agree with me that it's time to consider banning social media and perhaps even smartphones for under 16s?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, Mr. Speaker,
what? Banning phones and social media for under 16s?
Totally, but it shouldn't be up to the... Right, this is the thing. Why is everyone always running to the government? Government, please help, please help. This is down to parents.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but who buys the children the mobile phone?
The parent.
And who pays the phone bill?
The parent. And who Unless you live in Rochdale and Telford.
And whose responsibility is the child?
The parent.
Who gave birth to it?
The mother.
Who feeds it, clothes it, and gives it a house?
The parents.
Who should be responsible for keeping them safe?
The parents. Does that make sense?
We're here again, aren't we? Mm.
Again, unless you live in Rochford or Telford or any of those places.
And then it doesn't matter.
Rochdale, I should say.
Keep them off the phone, just don't send them down the chippy. Well, sorry, the kebab shop. Or a taxi.
Mr. Speaker, my honourable friend is absolutely right to highlight the impact of what happens online on our children, and that's why our Online Safety Act tackles both criminal activity online and protects children from harmful or inappropriate content such as bullying or the promotion of self-harm and accessing pornography and also exposure to eating disorders. Ofcom are now rightly developing and consulting on the guidance and
methodology in there too.
For how those platforms will meet their duties, and if they don't clean up their act, then Ofcom will be able to impose fines of up to 10% of global turnover on the social media firms.
Mr. Speaker, recently released documents revealed that the Foreign Office had serious concerns about the Israel's compliance with international humanitarian law.
Tahir Ali, assault you can imagine, can't you?
Gaza. Nah, I'm not
this assessment was hidden from Parliament. Whilst the Prime Minister boldly stated his confidence in Israel's respect for international law. Since then, the scale of Israel's war crimes in Gaza have been revealed to the world.
Raza.
In South Africa's case to the ICJ. Therefore, is it now not the time for the Prime Minister to admit that he has the blood of thousands of innocent people on his hands, and for him to commit to demanding an immediate ceasefire an ending of UK's arms trade with Israel?
No.
Mr. Speaker, that's the face of the Change Labour Party.
He won't step open.
What did he say?
I couldn't really hear it.
Mr. Speaker, that's the face of the Changed Labour Party.
More for once.
Educational Trust exhibition in Portcullis House, and for your personal unwavering commitment to Holocaust remembrance.
Why has this got anything to do with us again, John?
I know, right there.
Will the Prime Minister join me in commending the important work of the Holocaust Educational Trust, in particular their work with Holocaust survivors, who despite living through the darkest moment in human history, continue to share their testimony in the hope of ensuring never again. In the face of the appalling white
this is Nicola Richards,
which we see on the streets of Britain.
She's from Bromwich.
Will my right honourable friend join me in encouraging all members to sign the Book of Commitment and stand up against anti-Semitism?
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, I join my honourable friend in paying tribute to the brilliant work of the Holocaust Educational Trust and thank her for all her work on this issue. I'll be signing the Book of Commitment this afternoon during my meeting with Lily Ebert, and I encourage members on all sides to do the same and to reaffirm with shared determination to ensure that the Holocaust is never forgotten and to defeat the resurgence of anti-Semitism and all forms of hatred in our country.
Final question, Sarah Champion.
Sarah Champion.
Mr. Speaker, I represent a proud steel community in Rotherham who stand with the steel workers in Port Talbot at this very worrying time. My constituents don't want to see their taxpayers' money
Rotherham.
Used to make British workers
redundant. Yeah, they swap steel for rapists.
Our primary steel-making capacity decimated and our national security compromised. So will the Prime Minister change his destructive course, starting by looking at the credible multi-union plan to safeguard our steel industry's long-term future?
Yeah.
Mr Speaker, I know this is an anxious time for steel workers in South Wales, but we are committed to working with the steel sector to secure a positive and sustainable future. The Honourable Lady will know that during the pandemic, we provided support to
Rotherham's in Yorkshire,
a steel company
anyway.
In South Wales to safeguard jobs and ensure the sustainability of that plant. And what was proposed to happen in South Wales was the loss of 8,000 direct jobs, thousands more across the supply chain.
Why are you talking about South Wales? Just about Rotherham.
I know.
Because of the government's investment and support and partnership with Tata, we have safeguarded 5,000 direct jobs, thousands more in the supply chain, and ensured the long-term sustainability of that steel plant so it has a brighter future. Obviously, this is a difficult, but it's entirely churlish of her not to recognise the largest support package. It is one of the largest support
packages. Trump is the only one to fix the steel because he knew China were dumping cheap steel, so he
safeguarded thousands of jobs.
Simple.
Completes Prime Minister's questions.
And it wasn't cheap anymore. It's my fault.
There you go. So, how many questions were really answered?
One was kind of answered. He said he considered the report. The rest of it was just a farce.
Well, I can honestly say that it, Parliament's a joke, really. It's already a deal done before they come in. So it's just point scoring.
It is. You look at the SNP and every question.
Gaza.
It's about something that's thousands of miles away.
Yeah. Actually, it's 2,464 miles away.
Well, the new stats man, then.
Well.
I'm not really bothered.
I have to say, thank you very much for your comments today.
You're welcome.
I shall take a look at that stats man. All right. And I'm pretty sure that the Raven's going to be extremely jealous when he finds out that we've been doing something like this. The gazelle will say, well done. Well done, those men. Okay. See you later, Mark.
Hola.